The Tao of Self-Confidence, episode 329.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is the founder of the Top Flight Family blog, and you know, I'm just really excited to have her on and share her story with us today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Carmen Sognovi. Carmen, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Sheena. So yeah, as you mentioned, I am founder and publisher of Top Flight Family, which is a digital publication that's all about luxury family travel. So basically everything from, you know, tips on flying with a baby to what are the best kid-friendly destinations in Asia. We kind of cover all of that with really through the lens of more, a little bit more of an upscale kind of luxury perspective. And so I've been a New Yorker for over 20 years, kind of on a more personal note. And I currently live in Brooklyn, New York with my husband and our two daughters, Sean, who's 7, and Ella, who's 4.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Carmen, what's your cultural background?
So I have a pretty international background. I was born in Hong Kong. My father was Belgian. My mother is Hong Kong Chinese. But we moved around quite a bit because of my father's job. He worked in the telecom industry, so they would kind of send him here and there. So apart from Hong Kong, we also lived in Belgium for a couple years and in Shanghai for 4 years in the late 80s. And I was lucky enough to travel a lot with my parents when I was a kid. So that's definitely shaped kind of the person I've become today, and also obviously informed what I'm doing nowadays.
That's awesome. I think it's great, you know, as a kid to travel the world. And Carmen, what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
I'm not really one for quotes usually, but I actually just finished listening to actually the audiobook of The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, and it's full of these awesome gems. So just as a little background, the book is primarily about writing or artistic endeavors. And it's all about, you know, how to overcome writer's block or what he calls resistance, so that whenever you're trying to do something, take on an endeavor that's difficult, oftentimes there's sort of this inner power that tries to resist what you're doing. And so the quote that really resonated with me was this. It's a bit of a passage. So he says, "Are you paralyzed with fear? That's a good sign. Fear is good. Like self-doubt, fear is an indicator. Fear tells us what we have to do. Remember one rule of thumb. The more scared we are of a work or a calling, the more sure we can be that we have to do it." And the reason that this really resonated with me, especially given, you know, the topic of your podcast, is I think that women especially are so conditioned to really maybe give into our fears and not to overcome our fears. So a few years back, I took a workshop that was all about training women to write opinion pieces for newspapers. So, you know, the op-ed pages of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, those are all really influential places where if you can get an article in there about a topic or an issue you care about, it just helps you kind of get your voice out there, change the conversation. And so this organization's mission was to get more women doing that, because those op-ed pages are like 90% written by men. And so one of the exercises that they did in this workshop was they went around each woman and they said, okay, each of you is going to say the sentence in this format. So you say, "Hi, I am so-and-so. I am an expert on whatever the topic is because whatever the reason is." So, "Hi, I'm Carmen Sognovi. I'm an expert on luxury family travel because I founded Top Flight Family," you know, just as an example. So as they were going around the room, women would be like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm an expert on, well, I don't know if I'm an expert. I know a lot. Well, I don't know if I would say I know a lot." And I mean, women were falling apart, like just couldn't even get through the simple sentence. And just mind you, these women were crazy accomplished. I mean, we're talking about women that advised the president on national defense issues, you know, prominent scientists, like all women that were way more accomplished than me. Like I was a little embarrassed to be in the room. So I think that was just such an eye opener because I realized that, wow, you know, as women, we're so conditioned to never brag, you know, you don't want to seem overconfident. And it's such a shame, you know, and what the workshop leader actually ended up saying is, okay, let's shift the scenario. Now, let's imagine that you have the cure for cancer. Would you speak up and tell everybody what it is? And everyone's like, oh, of course, like that can help the world. But I mean, that's the point. Like what the knowledge that you have, whatever your expertise is, it can be, you know, you can get it out there and really have an impact. So I think that, you know, getting over this fear is really important when it comes to self-confidence. And also, you know, I think it's important to recognize that that fear is very much tied in with your ego. It's like you need to get over your ego and understand that it's not about bragging. It's about taking what you know and what you're passionate about and creating a better world. And you can have an impact on someone. And it's actually selfish to hold that back from the world. So that's something that I think really has a lot to do with self-confidence for women.
Thanks first for sharing that quote and also that story. I mean, it's so true. As women, especially Asian women, we have been conditioned to like never make any noise, never brag, never do anything. And then we always second guess ourselves, right? It's like, yeah, I may be an expert. I'm not sure, right? Only right. Because we've been so conditioned. And it's not like it's right or wrong, but we have to learn that, you know, being an expert is just knowing a little bit more than the rest, right? It's not a lot. It's just a little bit. And I think when people realize that, then they can call themselves an expert or they're more knowledgeable and things like that. So, you know, that exercise is actually eye-opening, not just, you know, for the listeners, but for me as well, because I still go through that, right? I still feel like I'm not an expert at anything. And, you know, we deal with our issues in our own way. But, you know, this was also a great thing that you mentioned. So thank you so much. And, you know, in your own words, how would you define self-confidence?
Yeah. If you don't mind, I just want to build on something you said. So you said that being an expert is really, it doesn't mean you know everything. It means you know a little bit more than a lot of people. But I think that's very true. And then I think the other piece of that is also that you have your unique way of explaining that in a way that's valuable to a certain audience. So, you know, when you think about personal finance, for instance, there's so many personal finance gurus out there, right? You've got Dave Ramsey, you've got David Bach, and then you have Susie Orman. And so it's not that Susie Orman necessarily knows way more about personal finance than anyone else, but she has a certain kind of style of communicating that either works for you or it doesn't. And it really resonates with a certain kind of person. And so it's not really necessarily expertise, I don't think, is just about, oh, comparing qualifications. It's also about how are you able to communicate that to the world. So I think that's another thing to keep in mind for, you know, those who are listening. But back to your question, your definition of self-confidence. Actually, I have another quote from the same book that I think really speaks to something that I've come to realize. And so this is, again, from Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art. And he writes, "Our job in life is not to shape ourselves into some ideal we imagine we ought to be, but to find out who we already are and become it." And I think for me, this has definitely been a big part of my journey to self-confidence is realizing that I need to play to my strengths instead of trying to be someone I'm not. I really need to focus on what am I already good at and then do more of that. You know, just as an example, I am actually pretty introverted. So I am not someone who does that well at cocktail parties. You know, I was always like not that kid that made friends right away. You know, I have a small group of friends that I'm very close to rather than a huge swath of people that I know a little bit. So that's just who I am. And I think over time, I've come to realize that, you know, I just have to choose to do things in a way that makes sense for me. So I'm not going to be the person who's going to jumpstart a business by going to a zillion trade shows and glad handing people because I would suck at it. So I need to kind of find ways of getting the word out that are a little bit more comfortable for me and that play to my strength. So I think for me, a lot of self-confidence is about really figuring out who you are and becoming comfortable with it and then just being better at doing those things that you're good at.
Thanks for sharing that definition. And it's so true, Ray. I mean, you know, we try to be this person and have these expectations and then we get disappointed because we're not that standard or that person we want to be. And the thing is, we don't have to be. We can just be ourselves, you know, bring our true authentic selves out and it will shine out, right? I mean, just like this authenticity is like missing in this world, and it's something that we need more out to show others like it's okay to just be yourself, you know, whether you have strengths or flaws or weaknesses. It's like it's all a part of us, and it makes us, you know, beautiful, right? On the inside and out. So I really love that definition that you mentioned. And, you know, Carmen, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
Well, I think probably like a lot of guests on your show, I'm still on the journey. I wouldn't say that there's a before or an after, but I would say that before, I probably was less comfortable with myself. I think, especially growing up biracial, there's always a, you know, this is somewhat stereotypical, but you know, there's always a little bit of that, like, oh, I don't quite fit into this world. I don't quite fit into that world. So there's a lot of sort of proving of yourself you have to do to your different communities. It's kind of like, I have to prove that I am Chinese. I have to prove that I'm Belgian. And, you know, it took me a long time to sort of realize that, you know, I can just be myself. You know, I don't have to prove that I'm one way or another. I have to kind of find this, what my genuine identity is, instead of trying to be boxed into these different labels. And so I think that the before definitely was marked by a lot of striving to fit other people's expectations of what I'm supposed to be. And the after is probably marked by more of a comfort level with who I am, and maybe less second guessing what I'm doing. And then also, I think becoming more aware when I'm doing something, becoming more aware of my motivations. You know, am I doing this because I think I'm supposed to, based on someone else's standard, or am I doing this because it genuinely feels like something that is a true expression of who I am? So I would say that those are probably the biggest differences.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, was there like a point in your life where you realized like you didn't have to like second guess who you are, right? You didn't have to try to prove to, you know, different cultural backgrounds who you were, like you were just, you know, confident in yourself, if there was like an aha moment in your lifetime?
I'm not sure that there was one specific aha moment, but I think that having children definitely makes you look at things in a different way, because, and especially, you know, just speaking on the cultural piece, it definitely makes you think more about like what is sort of the cultural legacy or exposure that you want your children to have. And I think, you know, one of the things that I always get asked is, oh, do your kids speak Chinese? Do your kids speak Chinese? And it's like, you know, sadly, my answer is no, they don't. And I think at first I felt really bad about this, as if, oh man, I've totally failed on, you know, as a Chinese mother. But then, you know, I thought more about it. And the thing is, like, I am already kind of a watered down Chinese person. Like, if you like, okay. And what I mean by this is, I think this idea of cultural purity is kind of a myth, because if you think about your parents and then your grandparents and then your great grandparents, probably every step along the way, the older generation is looking at the younger generation like, you don't know what the heck you are doing, right? So, like my Chinese grandmother grew up in Qiuzhou province in China. And then she, you know, moved to Hong Kong during the war, like a lot of people did. And then my mother was born in Hong Kong. And I just think about like how different their lives are from each other, and how different their concept of what it means to be Chinese is from each other. And then you kind of go down one generation, and then there's me, born in Hong Kong, but with a Belgian dad, going to international schools, not, you know, speaking Chinese, but not really reading or writing very well. And it's kind of like every step along the way, it's just a different interpretation, and it's not necessarily better or worse. And then, you know, fast forward to now, I have kids. I'm not living in Hong Kong, I'm living in the US. My kids are, my husband's Black, so my kids are now second generation biracial or multiracial. And, you know, I think there's a certain point at which you realize, you know, I don't have to expect them to be like local Hong Kong kids, because that's a part of them, but that's not really their everyday experience. So it's okay for them to have a lot of identification with Chinese culture and food. And there's a lot of things that we do that they definitely feel Chinese, but they don't necessarily have to like bust out, you know, reciting ancient Chinese poetry. for me to have done my job as a mother. So I think it's kind of, you know, coming to terms with that and kind of being okay with it, which I will be honest, as you can hear by me talking about it, is still a bit of a journey that I'm on. I'm not quite there yet.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's great that, and it's true, right? Like, these expectations, especially with Chinese families. I mean, like, my grandma till this day bugs me, like, why aren't you married yet? You know, and it's like different generations, you know, like my grandma got married when she was like in her 20s versus now, if like you get married in your 30s, if you're not married in your 30s, you're like an old maid to them. So, you know, sure. It's crazy the perception that they have. And like you mentioned, there's no right way or wrong way. It's just how they were brought up at the time. And, you know, it's different times, different generations, and, you know, different factors, right? And we have to realize that as well. So I really love that you mentioned that. And, you know, because of all these realizations, what's your life been like now?
Yeah, my life is great now. I mean, like I mentioned, it's definitely, I wouldn't say that I'm feeling super self-confident every day, but I think it's helpful to just kind of keep your bigger goals in mind and to understand that, you know, you just need to keep plugging away at it. And success doesn't always come right away overnight. People may not recognize the work that you've done right away, but as long as you're plugging away at it, making progress every day in a way that feels genuine to you, then that really helps. And, you know, also, you know, to your point about sort of the criticism from Chinese family members, I think another thing to keep in mind in terms of self-confidence is just know that there will always be naysayers. So there are always going to be people out there that don't like what you're doing or how you're doing it. And so there's never going to be a point in your life in which you're able to please absolutely everyone. In fact, if you're doing something of importance and, you know, something that's substantial, most likely you are actually going to alienate some people. That's a sign that you're doing things right. So, you know, learning to accept that and not to try and please everybody, I think is definitely part of that journey.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love that tip that you mentioned, you know, especially for a lot of Asian women, we're so great at trying to please every single person in the world, you know, not realizing like that's just not even possible. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
But you're setting yourself up for like serious depression.
Exactly. And we've all gone through it, right? It's because of how we were brought up. And, you know, it's not that it's bad or good. It's just like, these things happen. And, you know, we just have to learn to be more aware of it and, you know, figure it out on our own what we can do. And this is, you know, why I created like this show, to help people realize out there too, it's like they're not the only ones who go through this. And, you know, we all go through it, and we try to find ways to help listeners cope with it. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And, you know, if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles or any resources that we can connect with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm super passionate about inspiring parents to travel the world with their kids. You know, don't feel like now that you have kids, you have to put the traveling on hold. Don't think that you have to wait until they're all grown up either. Do it now. So if you go to topflightfamily.com, you'll find our actual publication. And we're on all the major social media channels under Top Flight Family. And then I've actually also put together a special guide for your listeners. So this is a guide that's called The 10 Best Vacations for Kids in the U.S. It's totally free. And if you live in the U.S., it's just a great way to kind of jumpstart that traveling process without necessarily having to get a passport right away. So there's so many great destinations right here in the United States. And then if you are listening to this podcast and you live in a different country, this is going to inspire you. So if you want to get your free copy of that, you can just go to topflightfamily.com/TAO, as in T-A-O, as in the name of this podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure our listeners will love to check that free report that you made just for them. So thank you so much. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Carmen, you can also head on over to the TaoofSelfConfidence.com and search for Carmen's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just really want to thank Carmen for taking the time to share her story with us and tips on self-confidence. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Not a problem. It was an honor having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence. And we'll catch you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Sign up for our free membership site to get more amazing resources for self-confidence by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.